Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, I'm going to be talking with Lisa Parker. She goes by Mama's Porch Politics on YouTube. She's ascending in the political world. She lives in Appalachia, Ohio. Fascinating woman. I learned about her last week from David Pepper, and I can't wait to talk to her. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Lisa Parker of Mama's Porch Politics. Welcome to the show, Mama.
Well, hey, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to be talking to you. You know, actually, I have family from West Virginia. I don't know. I'm sure some of my family is from Appalachia, but I don't know if you're familiar with, it's Wallace, West Virginia. Have you ever heard of that?
No, but pretty much if you're in West Virginia, honey, you're in Appalachia.
Yeah, bro, that's true.
And where I live in Ohio, we are Kentucky and West Virginia that got cut off by the river.
Okay. Okay. Well,
everybody's kin is from Kentucky or West Virginia in this part of Ohio.
Well, maybe we're related. I don't know. I just, my grandmother's mother, and she lived in Wallace, West Virginia, which was extremely remote. So, I'm somewhat familiar. I used to go there as a kid, but I'm very much a city woman, so I have lots of questions for you. And, you know, I talked with David Pepper last week, and he's the one who brought you to my attention.
Yes.
And I just love David. I love him so much.
He and I have had some dandy rows, too. That's what I love about David. You can argue with him, and then when the argument's over, you can work on stuff.
Yeah.
I hate people that get all butt hurt, and then you can't go on with it. And it's like, oh, put on your big girl panties and let's move on.
Totally. Yes. And David is just super cool. I've always liked him. Okay. So you live in rural Ohio.
Yes.
Now I was reading an article about you that you were born and raised, or at least raised in Appalachia. You're
yes.
liberal. So I just want to know, tell us a little about you, your upbringing and being liberal in a conservative area.
Well, my grandmother, my mamaw, grew up in Flatwoods, Kentucky. And her mother died when she was quite young. Her daddy kind of left her with her mamaw. Mm-hmm. And by the time she would have been our equivalent of the eighth grade, she was a school marm. She was teaching.
Wow.
And she realized her mom, her mind and education would get her out of her poverty. She crossed the river, found my grandpa. They got married. She went on to get a PhD in British literature. My mother, which today would have been her 87th birthday, I'm going to tear up. She was just a powerhouse. My mother was phenomenal. She had been in the Army. served in Korea.
Hmm.
And then after she got out, she never nursed again until she was a missionary many years later. But she was a social worker. And she brought my brother and I up. She raised us all by herself to, there were times like we didn't have Easter, my brother and I, because we did it for somebody else.
No.
And she always said, no matter what your situation is, there's someone who's having it tougher.
Yeah.
And that's why I did my drop back in the summer on, you got to learn to eat poor. And I'm going to teach my grandchildren, because we're there.
Yeah.
Come Saturday, we're there. So even though in a very conservative community, I know that the people of Appalachia are also very loving people.
Mm-hmm.
And you find the poorest person in West Virginia, Kentucky, southeastern Ohio, and that's the person that will share their last sandwich with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the culture. So mom raised us. I went into the Army to pay for my college. My brother went into the Army. And then from there, I went to work at a nuclear facility for 20 years, met my husband there. And from there, he and I went into our own business. I thought I was going to be nicely retired. And then I got pissed off.
Good.
And girl, when I get pissed off, you know, the old hell hath no fury, except this mammal can shoot like you wouldn't believe. My husband, true story. We had the year Hillary ran, we had our whole front yard with our Democratic signs out, mm-hmm. and somebody came along and stole them. Thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
My husband moved them back under our flagpole, which we have the American flag and then the 82nd Airborne flag, because my son and husband were both in the 82nd Airborne. And he hand wrote a sign, and people kept honking. I said, what the hell did you walked around? He wrote, warning, these signs are within range.
That's awesome.
So the whole, if you're a liberal, you're a snowflake, might
right.
not hold in this area.
Right. Well, have you always been political?
Yeah, because my mother was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was very aware. Now, was I an activist due to my job at the time when we worked at the nuclear facility? I wasn't that political, but on my 18, I'll never forget, the year I turned 18 was in March. I had my first primary. Jimmy Carter was on the ballot. My grandpa picked me up at high school, took me to vote for my very first time, and he informed me that voting wasn't a right, it was a duty.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've tried to instill. My son, when he was a little boy, went to the voting booth. So I want people to get back to, our government is us. Our civic responsibilities are us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't bitch if you
right.
didn't participate.
Totally. Yeah. My mom told that to her friend. I guess at some point she was complaining. Her mom, my mom's friend was complaining about George Bush. And my mom said, did you vote? And her friend said, no. She goes, then you can't complain.
That's right. You didn't vote. Don't come bitching to me. Don't want to hear your shit.
So, okay, you are. I think I already know the answer to this because you kind of said so. But what inspired you to start sitting in front of a camera and talking about politics?
I can remember the day vividly. I had first gotten a call earlier that day. We were supposed to have a Democratic meeting that night. From ODP, the Ohio Democratic Party, and they'd hired yet another young person. This is 2025, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to set up a meeting with people so we could come down and he could teach us how to phone bank. And I'm like, phone bank? I'm not allowed to cuss, right?
Yes,
I said,
you are.
Are you fucking kidding me? This is 2025. I'm 68 years old. And if I don't know the phone number, I don't answer it.
Right.
So that started my day.
Yeah.
I got to the meeting that evening and we were talking about setting up at the farmer's market and all this. And someone stood up, as long as we don't use the word Democrat. So I resigned that day
mm-hmm.
as party chair. I figured, okay, I have failed after 8 years. And I got on my deck just for therapy for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started. And shockingly, my numbers clicked up, and I thought, well, how in the hell? So, I mean, it was just kind of started out as therapeutic for me, and it caught fire because I had realized that especially women, but men and women of a certain age, you get disappeared. And people think your voice doesn't matter. And we were polite because we were brought up that way. And we were in shock. And so we said nothing. And so that's why I tell people, you remember what it was like to use your outside voice, and you start using them again. So I had to laugh when the Trump administration, when the we're all Antifa terrorists didn't work. Oh, it was just a bunch of old people. Let me tell you what, those old people are the ones who got us our civil rights. Those old people are the ones that ended the goddamn war in Vietnam. And those old people, it's still in there. You just got to remind them it's still in there. And that's a voting block they're going to be shocked about.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, because at the No Kings protest, I said this on my Patrons Only show, but I live in an area that's very diverse. A lot of people, literally a lot of people from Africa live here. But I mean, because I live so close to DC, the diversity here is it's a lot of different nations. And I noticed on No Kings Day, and I went to one of the smaller rallies, kind of one in my neighborhood, and so many people who showed up were white boomers. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, I spoke at the one in our local community, and it was huge. And we had a lot of people that had voted MAGA in the past that were there. And we had farmers, a lot of veterans, but we have a large VA hospital close by. But you're right, it was the boomers, and to see them interact with younger people that they never would have interacted with in any other situation and find common ground. And I was looking around. Of course, I love the costumes, but I got to looking around and I thought, you know what? This is not what they intended because this bonding is going to be one hell of a voting block.
Oh, hell yes. Yes, 100%. Okay, now I'm gonna jump to this because and I say this to everyone. I know you're not an oracle, but I'm still gonna ask your opinion. How confident are you feeling about, I mean, I think we all feel confident that if the 2026 elections actually happen, that we're gonna see this massive blue wave. And I'm gonna just point this out too, and I point it out a lot, but I think it's important because in 2014, when Obama was president, we had the lowest turnout in like 86 years in the midterms. And then the following midterm with Trump, we had general election turnout. So that was like another, I don't know if we set any records, but it was massive turnout. And that was when we had some guardrails. We don't have guardrails now. So yeah, I do believe that, providing we're going to have an election and we know they're trying to stop it, and that's what I'm asking you about, I think we're going to see a massive blue wave. But like, obviously, we're hearing chatter about, him trying to shut down elections with the Insurrection Act or martial law or something. What are your thoughts about that?
My big concern, well, right now, Ohio is one of the three states racing to the bottom. I mean, we're arguably one of the most corrupt states in the union. So they're playing around with gerrymandering again. But here's the issue. Just because you're in a heavily gerrymandered district doesn't mean you have to vote the way they think you're going to vote. And so that's what I'm trying to tell people. You have choices. Even if, for example, if we don't have anybody run against our swastika-bearing Congressman David Taylor, they don't even have to give him a courtesy vote. And that's what I tell people. You don't have to vote for him. I think people are going to show up. Because the only way that we have Trump in there now is that 10 million people sat it out.
Yes. Oh, it's just so frustrating.
And now they realize your vote does count, voting has consequences. I had over 1,000 of my followers respond to what are the three top issues you would want me to address with candidates? And I've got it all written out for them. And voting reform. And reform of the Electoral College, term limits, that was number one, which is great.
Yeah.
That, to me, that was great, because if we don't fix voting, nothing else matters.
Right.
Number two was securing Social Security and medical care, not Medicare,
right,
but people's medical, getting that locked up. And number three was bodily autonomy. So those are the issues that voters have. And I've got voters all over the country, well, international, or people watching and stuff. So that told me we're on the right track. People now understand our only superpower is our vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but you got to show up and cast it.
Yeah, you've got
and
to. We've got to. We've got. Go ahead.
Obstacle after obstacle that they've done. It's still, if you show up, you're going to vote, and that's what we've got to do. And that's what Taco's not counting on.
Yeah.
Because I tell you what, I'm meaner than that son of a bitch.
Okay, well, let you know, another subject that I'm so fond of talking about is his poor health. And, you know, I don't know if you're familiar, but, you know, part of what I like to do during the day is I listen either to political commentary, or every once in a while I see something on whether it's like a psychic reading or a tarot reading about Trump's health. And, you know,
my husband does that. He always listens. It's a woman out of Australia about Trump's health.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's his favorite. He listens to her.
And, you know, it's funny because we don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not putting so much stock into it, but it feels good. You know, it's like it puts me in that energy of like, okay, he's not going to make it, because there's plenty of literal political people out there talking. I mean, one of the younger people that I like is Keith Edwards, and he's constantly doing videos on doctors talking about, you know, what they think is wrong with him. So, you know, I want to ask you about this, in that, let's just say we're in a situation where at some point during these 4 years, Trump is no longer president for whatever reason. What are your thoughts about JD? And, you know, there are a lot of people who are frightened of him because they feel that he's a more intelligent Trump. But then again, at the same time, he doesn't have the popularity that Trump has with
that
core.
You mean little
core.
Old Jimmy Hamill? The fake hillbilly. Is that who we're talking about?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let me tell you about little old Jimmy Hamill.
All right.
He has a serious identity problem.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't think that he's straight. We won't even get into that.
Okay.
But little Jimmy Hamill, you tell me about a guy who, now when he was younger, he was adopted, so that wasn't his, so he went from Bowman to Hamill. So little Jimmy Hamill graduates high school. He goes to the Marine Corps as Jimmy Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
He goes through Ohio State as Jimmy Hamill. And he goes through Yale Law School as Jimmy Hamill. So you've got all these degrees, certificates, and when women change their name, you know what a nightmare it is. But he goes through all these gyrations. And then, after he meets Peter Thiel, he changes his name. Now, if that doesn't tell you somebody's got some issues with identity, okay. So, little Jimmy Hamill, first of all, is not a hillbilly. He's not from Appalachia.
Yeah.
Just because you visit your meemaw in eastern Kentucky 2 summers does not make you a person of Appalachia. Let's make that clear. From the way I was brought up, him living in Middletown, Ohio, where his dad worked at General Electric and his mom was a nurse, he was not poor.
Mm-hmm.
His mother's addiction issues were from medication she stole from her hospital. It was not from Mexican drug lords.
Right.
So it's kind of like, Jimmy, if you're going to tell this tale, let's tell it right, because it's too easy to find out otherwise, especially when you live in an area where so-and-so knows so-and-so knows so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Jimmy Hamill, who doesn't know who he is and has no identity, will go the way the wind blows.
Yes.
So I think when he gets in there, of course, he's beholden to Peter Thiel, the South African Nazi. But I really think he's more swayable if the intelligent people can get in there. I think the first thing he will do, though, is boot Stephen Miller out the door, because I see a lot of conflict there, because Stephen Miller seems to think he's the guy in charge.
Yeah. Well, he is with the demented one now.
Yeah, with the taco. Yeah. Well, you know, the taco's health. When you eat too many Big Macs, you get a taco, I guess.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So you don't think that he's going to have this, I mean, he'll clearly be dangerous. But, like
Absolutely.
for instance, my boyfriend Bob Seska, he talks about politics, and his whole thing is that, number one, the MAGA's not necessarily, I know there's a huge portion actually of the Republicans who will march in lockstep. But I mean, okay, I guess do you think that whatever horrible things that are happening, okay, Trump's out of the picture, and whatever they're doing with JD in charge, do you think that Republicans or right-leaning independents will have let's like a negative opinion of JD, or do you think they'll, because like there's a lot of Republicans right now that feel betrayed. Oh, I didn't vote for this, even though they
Yeah, you
did.
did.
They didn't care to know about what he was saying, or they were just focusing on their little pet issues. But is JD, like, are they just gonna suck it up for JD? Like, okay, fine, we don't like him as much as Trump, but we'll take him because he's got the R behind his name.
I honestly think this is just mamaw talking from my porch pontificating. Only Trump can do Trump. MAGA is Trump.
You're right, yes.
So, as much as people have tried to replicate that MAGA thing, it just hasn't taken tread. And you got to remember what little Jimmy Hamill was like prior to Trump. Never Trumper. He was an idiot.
Yeah, he called him Hitler.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to get the tread going. And nobody really cares for JD. That's why Taco wanted him in there. It was kind of a security that he wouldn't be offed because everybody'd be worried they'd get Jimmy. But age, you can't beat mother time.
No.
And notice I said mother time, not father time.
Right.
Only Trump does Trump. What fascinates me, and I talked to Amy McGrath about this Tuesday, is what happened to these congressmen and senators. Do they have to give their testicles into a jar when they walk into the
I
Capitol
think they
building?
do. I mean, I do.
My God, this is one demented, sorry-ass old man, and you're terrified.
Yeah.
Really? The bane, I am telling you mark my words, his bane are strong women. And
Yeah.
if we can get strong women in there, that is the guardrails. Nancy could handle him beautifully. And, E. Jean Carroll, women are his bane. It's not going to be the men that stand up to him. It's going to be women that stand up to that person.
What do you make of Marjorie Taylor Greene right now?
I think when it comes to the Epstein files, now I have never agreed with anything that Marjorie Taylor Greene has ever said or done. I want to make that very clear. But I do appreciate the fact that first and foremost, she was a woman. And when those women told their story, she reacted as a woman should and would appropriately. And I give her props for that. And I appreciate her for that. I am very saddened that women knowing their history like Joni Ernst did not. That is very sad to me, especially being a woman veteran. So I give Marjorie, and there again, strong woman is going to end up being his bane of existence. And I don't know what's going on with Mikey Johnson. In my lifetime, and I've seen a lot of speakers come and go, including old Denny Hassert that got thrown in jail, and I forget the other one that got thrown in jail. What Speaker of the House doesn't realize they are the second most powerful person in the government? And acquiesces to a president, even if it's the same party, the way he does. What the hell's in those Epstein files?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so there's this conversation that people think that the government's never going to reopen because of the Epstein files. I mean, what's going on there? Is that really what's keeping it closed? And if it is what's keeping it closed, then why would they even open it?
Okay, first of all, I just have to laugh, and I do laugh out loud at Mikey Johnson and John Thune. Well, the Democrats have got to open the government. It's like, wait a minute, people. You're the Speaker of the House. Why? Because you got the majority. You are the Senate majority leader. Why? Oh, because you have the majority, John Thune. So how is this a Democratic Party thing other than you can't control your own damn caucus?
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, it's closed down because they keep it closed.
Mm-hmm.
But with Mike Johnson, what really shocked me was I can understand they're trying to cover Taco a little bit. Okay, if that's what you want to do, cover up for a creepy guy who we already know sexually molests women at his whim.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something more. I mean, this is beyond.
I'm wondering how many people were in that.
I mean, everybody knew he hung out with Epstein, and that's where he met Melania, was through Epstein.
Yes.
And that's where Charlie Kirk's wife was tied up with that. But how many in Congress are tied up?
Yeah, that's there's also the idea that there's threats on their life, right? I mean, that's
grow a set and put out a sign in your front yard. The sign's within range. See, I don't buy this whole bullying being scared bullshit. If somebody's bullying me, they better have a really good stand on it, because I'm like old James Carville. You smack me, I'm gonna punch you.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's funny because my mother, when she was younger, some bully, her neighbor, it was like a boy who was older than her, was just tormenting her. And I don't know how old she was, but she was like, you know, 7 or 8 or something like that. And maybe he was 13. And she was in her little pool and he came over and he was messing with her. And she just lost her mind and she just beat the shit out of him.
And
that's what she keeps saying to everybody. She's like, the only way you beat a bully is to not let them get to you. And it's like to beat the shit out of them and they run away like cowards. And we all know Trump is a coward. Taco, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. He is the biggest coward. But I mean, so do you think they're going to keep the government closed down indefinitely?
I don't know what they're going to do. I will be furious, though, if the Democrats blink.
Yeah,
you've
got
to send
too.
This far. You better not blink. You dig in. Okay, we're going to have food and soup lines. There's a rotting albatross around Mikey Johnson's neck, and you just let it stink him up.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they better not blink.
So what's it like? Have you noticed being in rural Ohio?
That's hard to say, isn't it?
It is. Are you finding, like, how much exposure do you have to MAGA? And I mean, like, personally, and are you noticing any, like, changes? Are people waking up?
Oh, well, here's how exposed we are to MAGA. Literally, all you saw, we had to go through a MAGA parade of all their stupid trucks because, you know, they have
mm-hmm.
male proudness issues. So we had the big MAGA parade. So I went all to the little towns around us and made them all cough up the money that it cost to have the police escorts and turn off the lights and stuff, because that was a political event. And so they kind of got the idea there.
Mm-hmm.
We had flags everywhere. You had the sea of red hats. We had farmers that spray painted their big round hay bales, you know, farmers for Trump and all that. Now, and my husband and I brought this. We went to a flea market that's normally, you know, just absolutely a conclave of Trumpers.
Mm-hmm.
Not one person was wearing a Trump hat. Now, there was a booth that had Trump items for sale. Mm-hmm. Nobody was there buying anything.
Wow.
I have not seen in the last 2 months, since the tariffs really started slamming them, I have not seen any Trump flags in our area. None. Which is phenomenal. There was 2 holdouts. None of those farmers are out with their hay bales. And my prediction is you're not going to turn those Trumpers. They're not going to go vote Democratic. I think they're going to stay home.
Yeah, right.
I think they're tucking tail and they're like, why didn't they get it happen to me? Or like you said, there's people say, why didn't vote for this? And I very firmly say, yes, you did.
Yeah.
Because you thought you were screwing over somebody else.
Right.
Now, starting Saturday in Ohio, 1.4 million people are not going to have food stamps. We're going to have hungry people that we can't feed. Our food banks are empty here. And that doesn't count. We have 2 rural hospital systems in my area that when they do away with their health care on their ACA plan,
mm-hmm.
and the Medicaid stops, I don't know what we're going to do. And I think it's finally starting to hit people. I've got a farmer that from my porch, when the weather's good and I can be on the porch, harvested his soybeans. He piled them up. It was one day when I was talking to David Pepper, and I said, "You're hearing the combine in the back," and he's piled up this. Well, 2 days later, he came and he put it in the big white bags, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I'm having to turn my soybeans into silage." And for those of you in the city, silage is what you feed cattle in the winter. It's usually scraps and corn stalks and that kind of thing, but this was actually they were putting the beans in the silage because there's no place to sell them. And we
I
had
mean,
a
it's just
fabulous growing year. We had a bumper crop year.
so okay. There was the beginning of the year when, he takes office. And things go along. So are you saying in the last, okay, so yeah, for in the last 2 months is when you're noticing from the start of this
Right.
year?
Things in it started. We didn't get the effects here like they in California when he started this ice bullshit. We already knew that crops were being affected as far as produce, and around here, what we call produce is your edibles that you get out of the grocery store. So it hit produce markets in California and Florida down in the South Rim before we noticed it because we all have our own gardens grow it. So the ICE raids on that really didn't affect the people here like that. Then starting in June when the tariffs started up, and then in July when Cargill and stuff started backing off their contracts and canceling those, that's when the farmers realized we are having a bumper year because the growing conditions have been fabulous in this area. And now we're not going to have customers. And you and I both know as business women, when you lose a good customer, they don't come back. So I think what I noticed a big shift was midsummer, then in August in Ohio, when they pulled the old, oh, by the way, we're not going to fund public schools like we did. We're going to this voucher system. And we have no voucher schools in southeastern Ohio. There's no private schools down here. And now we have teachers who voted MAGA and superintendents who are now like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And it's like, well, we've all had our hair on fire for 2 years. Where the hell you been? So it was about midsummer when it really started hitting here because people realized this is affecting me. And now, like I said, and I'm really tired of the big lie that, oh, these illegal immigrants are t no, undocumented people cannot apply for food stamps or medical cards. Period. That's a lie. Most people that I know are working poor that have food stamps and Medicaid. And that's the big lie that the Republicans are trying to spin, well, they need to tighten up or pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I just told my husband we have a big steak dinner and have spam. Hey,
Hey,
this is what we're all eating. This is what you people need to eat. And my mama could make spam a million different ways. I'm telling you, the woman could be a spam gourmet.
Okay, so I want to go back to JD on this because you said you think that a lot of these people are going to just sit out the election, but that they're not going to vote for Democrats. And I guess we can apply this to the midterms, but let's just take it to if we, I know that there are definitely political talking heads out there that do not want us talking about 2028 right now, just because we don't even know what's happening, but. Because I want to, I'm going to, and it's my show.
That's right,
So,
damn it.
as far as 28 is concerned, I don't, I would imagine that JD Vance would run. And,
Yeah, he could try.
he's going to try, but there's going to be this pool. And I don't know, I don't know if they're going to have their version of Obama because I genuinely think that Trump was kind of like their Obama that they got all excited about and everything. And I don't know if there's anybody that there isn't right now. There's nobody in the party who has charisma like Donald Trump to that base. But my whole point here is, do you think that the Republicans would feel the same way? whether it's J.D. Vance or another Republican who's basically going to continue the Project 2025 agenda.
I think they're going to try to continue it, but with all the carnage that Trump is leaving right now, I just don't see it spinning like that. That's why they're, think about it. If they weren't already terrified about 2028, they wouldn't be desperately trying to do this redistricting, thwart people voting, trying to implant the seed. Oh, well, we're going to make sure you can't vote. We're going to have voter people. Okay, so you have an armed guard at my voting booth. So the heck what?
You can say it. So the fuck what?
You know, I'm just going to wave at you and walk by and cast my damn ballot.
Yeah. Wow.
But JD's not likable.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you meet the taco in person, if you get past the smell, they say he can be quite charming.
I can't see that.
I think he's an old sleazeball, but
yeah.
I guess women pick up things different depending. But JD doesn't have that. I mean,
no, he
tell
doesn't.
Usha doesn't even want to be around him and hold his hand.
Do you see anyone else in that party that could possibly get everybody excited?
They all left.
Yeah, they did. Although now they're calling them rhinos.
And we have to be a really healthy two-party system. We do.
Yeah.
And there's no John McCain's that I see. There were some that I thought would have courage, and they buckled. Mitt Romney left.
Yeah.
He buckled. Adam Kinzinger, he left. Liz Cheney, Liz became one of my heroes. I just can't believe that comes out of my mouth, but she did.
I know.
You know?
From
unlikely sources, but I don't know where they would stand in the party because they're quote unquote normal Republicans.
Yeah, they're considered rhinos.
Yeah, the old school. So I have no idea. I have no idea. I think that the Democrats, the old farts will step aside, have a wonderful deep bench, but that's why I think we ought to have term limits, but that's a whole other conversation, I guess. But we've got to. And I'm of that age. See, I think I can speak to that because I'm in that age group.
Mm-hmm.
How freaking selfish that you think you are the only one, that you have to be there. Well, here's what breaks my heart. I remember a young Dianne Feinstein and what a wonderful powerhouse. Mm-hmm. And she was just, you know, women of the world were like, oh my God, she's our hope. But today people remember that frail old woman who did not know where she was at still in the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to politics, it's kind of like flying an airplane or something like that, you know, where there are age requirements. And it doesn't really have to do with ageism in that we don't think you're capable of doing it, because we all know you can live to 100 and be sharp. But you start getting up to a certain age. It's like my mom is 78, and she said, you know, all the crap started when she was 70. And she's a healthy woman. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, she's got hip issues and knee issues and, you know, pains and this and that. And so, yeah, I mean, we don't know. When you're 70, it's not that you're done. It's not like you just have no mind and you can't
be an elder statesman.
Do something else. Yeah.
It's just like what I'm doing. I'm doing something else. And,
right.
You know, we've got to be really honest here. I'm fairly sharp. I'm shocked people, they think I'm a hillbilly, and then they get sharp when they get stung. But it takes, sometimes I rattle around for a minute. It has to roll around in my brain to find a word or to remember a name. And that's normal.
Right.
But I don't want that in my congressman and senator.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nobody has any guarantees or whatever. You could get hit by a bus tomorrow. But yeah, the older you get, the more the chances go up that things could go wrong. Yeah.
You're just not as fast. But I really, truly believe, you know, 10 term limits for a congressman's 20 years. That's a retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Go home. Go be an elder statesman. There's a whole world out there post-retirement. Senators, you give them 3 terms, 4 terms, you're 18 to 24 years. Get out.
Yeah.
Love you. Appreciate your service. But, you know, come on, go do something else. Mm-hmm. Go work on somebody's staff. And for the judiciary, In the state of Ohio, for example, judges have mandatory requirement at 74. Okay, when our framers came up with the Supreme Court being important for life, keep in mind the average lifespan was 48 years old.
Yeah, people weren't living to 100.
You got Clarence Thomas in there. I don't know if he's turning gray or turning to stone. Go.
I know. Okay. Well, I want to ask you though about the we're seeing these protests, the No Kings, and then I think it was whether it was the day of or the day after, the mayor of Chicago called for a general strike. Now he's the mayor, but this was the first that I heard an elected official would call for something like a general strike. I know there
Need more
were
liking.
yes, and we're going to be seeing more No Kings marches because clearly, aside from pissing off Taco, as we'll call him, he shit all over us for that march, for that massive protest. We're going to see more. Do you think, do you think that Americans are going to? Let me go back because I think, we're all raised on this idea of freedom and liberty, and we're constantly told that, we're free Americans and it's so important. And, I'll just sidetrack this. My listeners know, but when I was 12 years old, my dad worked for ABC News as a cameraman. So I had the opportunity to live in communist Soviet Russia. And that's
Oh,
when I
wow.
learned really the definition of patriot because I saw what it was like firsthand. And so I know many Americans don't have that opportunity to be in a country like that and see what it's like to live in a police state. And a lot of them can't even imagine it. But a lot of them are living through, fascism right now, and they've never seen it. And so do you think that these protests are going to scare Republicans? And I ask you that because what is odd to me is that they're allowing these SNAP benefits to expire before the midterms, as opposed because I know some of the stuff that they wanted to do. I had heard initially that it was going to happen after next year, like in sometime like in November or whatever, after the midterms or right before the midterms, so that the American that so what's going to happen now is all these people are going to feel it, and why aren't they afraid? I mean, what's the deal?
Well,
Do you know?
here's the problem in that Mikey Johnson plays checkers and not three-dimensional chess. In his checkers game, they thought they were being cute, and when they did the big bullshit bill, it wasn't going to be until after November of next year, after 26. But what he didn't anticipate was this funding bill. And so when the funding bill got stopped and they shut the government down, it caught the SNAP benefits in it. And so, without thinking, so he thought, well, we'll be a smart ass. We'll delay this. I'm not going to swear in another congresswoman. And then the SNAP is happening. Healthcare is happening a year ahead of what he had anticipated in the bullshit bill. And now little Mikey doesn't know what to do because he's a checker player. So, I think the more people that go out in the streets, and there again, almost 8 million people were in the streets, and the only arrests were like less than 20, and they were MAGA people. What do you do with that? How do you tear gas people that are in dinosaur costumes and duck costumes, or people, just waving and showing the taco sitting on the throne, and it was a toilet, that kind of thing? They don't know what to do there. My only concern is that his brown shirts, what he's calling ICE, are really ramping up trying to instigate to where there is going to be some serious violence. And I think that's what the mayor of Chicago is trying to thwart with the strike. Because I'm really concerned about it. And we've gone around to nail salons, Mexican restaurants, and stuff here, and told people, here's the number of the ACLU. If they come in here, you immediately call this number, even if they can just hear you yelling in the background, so that they know that they have rights, that we have to have due process. So I'm more concerned about this unthwarted brown shirts that will morph into the SS, really, than I am just about general protesting.
Right. Well, and you know, I mean, I don't. I was thinking about this because, you know, the alleged shooter, the alleged Charlie Kirk shooter, they tried to pin him a Democrat, and it didn't work. And so I'm not saying that they're incapable or they wouldn't be able to successfully do what you're saying, because, of course, that's the fear, right? That they're going to have bad actors go in and create the violence. And that's what fascists do. They create the problem and go, we got to solve it. Look at this violent, these violent people, and we have to, you know. So yeah, that is a fear. However, I'm just wondering, you know, like, I wonder if they couldn't keep anything on this alleged, I'm going to call him alleged shooter, just in case. But you know, it's like, we don't even hear about him anymore. And I, you know, what they tried to do, they couldn't do. They were ineffective. And I guess I'm just saying all this because I hope that if, and I think they will, instigate violence at some of these rallies, that it goes as far as the Charlie Kirk shooter. You know what I mean? Like, I hope.
Well, for one thing, I'm glad you brought that up about the Charlie Kirk shooter, because my husband was a SWAT commander for years. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he said when he watched that is, yeah, this dog ain't hunting.
Yeah, there's something weird about it.
Yeah. Well, but it's kind of like when the taco got shot.
Yeah.
Who's the best plastic surgeon in D.C.?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think he could make a magic ear cartilage grow?
No.
Because I'm here to tell you, girlfriend, even with a small 22 caliber round, if it grazed your ear, it's going to leave a hell of a mark.
Yeah, and there's no mark. You know, I
remember all those stupid dumbasses wearing Kotex on their ear.
Yes. Oh, my God. They're so embarrassing.
It is. It's like, oh, my God, how much more groveling can you do?
I know. It's so gross. But, you know, the when that happened, I remember feeling like that this was legitimate, because there was no way in hell this narcissist was going to put himself in the line of bullets. But
oh, yeah.
I have come to the, you know, new conclusion that, yeah, I don't believe it. I believe
and he
that
hired
that was
Linda McMahon. Now, come on. You know he knows how to do that old wrestling shit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I don't buy into it. All right. Well, we've been, you know, talking about some scary stuff, but I, you know, it's not so bad. I'm not completely afraid, but meaning just talking to you, I'm kind of afraid in general, although I'm trying to temper that with the idea that we have to. I just want to say this to everybody, because I posted this on my Facebook page, but it's like, obviously people are afraid, people are hurting. And I think that rather than put your focus on how uncomfortable you are and how afraid you are, it's like, feel what you need to feel. But I would hope and ask everybody to put their focus on, how are we going to get democracy back? Because when we're putting our focus on, I'm afraid they're going to win, it gives them more power. We come from a place of weakness. But even when we're afraid and we say, how are we going to win this? Then we're looking for solutions and we're looking for ways to do something through our fear. So I just want to throw that out there. But I wanted to ask you, the last couple things we're going to talk about is, you know, how are you feeling about the future of democracy? Because a lot of people are terrified and they think that it's gone forever. So where are you on this?
I have to have tremendous faith in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, will it change? Well, it's evolved and changed since its founding.
Right.
It has. And technology changes things. But I think the American people, for the last, and I'm going back 300 years, because, you know, for 50 years before we ever signed the Declaration, we were still fighting for our independence.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to being under the boot.
Right.
We are not the kind of people that acquiesce quietly and want to say hello to a king, because we have all, it's ingrained in us. The president of the United States puts their britches on just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not to be worshipped. So when we see that, I think our big mistake was in 2015, we were polite.
Mm-hmm.
We were in shock. And this is where I get on the DNC. They're living back like things were normal and they're not. And what Trump did brilliantly, and I will give him credit for this, is they built online communities. They let people find a community of like-minded people and gave them a voice and gave them the courage to go out and be bold and in people's faces, and everybody backed down. And I don't think it was so much then out of fear as it was shock, the shock and awe of it. Now, it just typical military tactic. When you figure out how the opposition's working, even if they have greater forces, you go commando and you learn things. But you've got to learn from what they do. That's how you evolve in warfare. And we're in warfare, really, if you think about it. And so it's like we give them communities like my porch. People used to sit out on porches, stop by, talk, solve the woes of the world. You give people an opportunity to come and voice their concerns, their anger. That's why I tell them, stay salty. It's okay to be salty. And give them, and that's what gives them the, not the courage, but the memory of, yeah, I used to do that and I'm going to do it again. And no, I don't have to take that. And so that's what gives me hope is that my platform just exploded in a matter of a couple of months that I was not anticipating, certainly not equipped. I'm still learning software and because I'm doing this all. But I gave them a voice and a place to come, and they realized all these other people across the whole United States and then some. I've got people from Australia, Canada, and UK on there too that think the way I do, and they're frustrated the way I am, and they feel the way I am, and we give each other courage. So that's why I don't think that our great experiment that started in 1776 is going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're going to go through more shit and people are
We
going to
are.
be hurt and it's going to be fucking bad. But I
But the
don't want to
60s were
sugarcoat.
bad.
Yeah, exactly.
People
I mean,
forget the 60s were really bad.
yeah, I was born in 68, which was like an incredibly volatile year. And it sucks because I think it was the actress Kristen Johnston, and this was during the first term. Said something, I think it was during COVID, and she said something. So I guess like we peaked in the 90s, huh? I just keep thinking about that because it's like, oh my God, yes. The whole hanging Chad fiasco. And oh my God, my boyfriend, it was so funny because, as I said, my boyfriend is a political guy, and I was on his podcast last Friday, and he was playing some of George W. Bush, and I'm like, oh my God, he sounds like a Rhodes Scholar compared to this one.
I
And,
know.
I mean, there were literal books about George W. Bush's stupidity. So, yeah, we've gone down really far. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg pointed out that the pendulum always swings back and forth. So even though we had 4 years of Joe Biden and 4 years of some really incredible and wonderful things happening, that it was, overshadowed by January 6th and MAGA and Trump and all of that. And so I don't necessarily include the pendulum going all the way to our side on that. So it's kind of time for democracy to be thriving. And I,
It
you know,
will,
I,
and
I.
it, like I said, it'll evolve and change because what people forget is in 1776, we had slave owners. Women didn't get to vote. My great grandmother's greatest pride was being a suffragette and getting to vote. And man, she took that to, I mean, that was a big deal for her. So we've evolved and we will continue to evolve. Were these things covered in the Constitution? Hell no. Whoever dreamt we would have somebody like the taco color outside the lines? My big thing right now is what he did with the East Wing. I said on my show, I'll guarantee you he has no plans. He has got an AI rendering of what he wants, and that spoiled brat tore that down because now that it's tore down, you're going to have to let me do something. And that's exactly, I'm telling you, there are no blueprints. There is no architectural drawing. There is no engineering on the electric, the plumbing. None of that has been done yet. That's going to, just to draw them up, is going to take months and months and months. It's not, but he tore that down, is a spoiled brat that he is, just so you'd have to let him put something back. And Mike Johnson sits there with his thumb up his ass. Oh, what am I going to do now?
Yeah,
the guy holds a purse print. And I want to know who the hell's paying for all this and where the money is right now that he supposedly has collected. Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
And where's all this tariff money? Mike Johnson.
Oh, my God. All right.
Do your freaking job.
We're all just sitting here. I mean, he just said it's time to go back to nuclear testing. So there's that. I don't even know what that's going to mean, but I do believe we're going to survive this. I think we're going to be beaten up even more and we're going to have to go through some shit, but you know, hey, we 10 million of us, like you said, stayed home or didn't vote for her. And for whatever reason, this is what we got now. We have this, you know, horrible man. And I think that, you know, one of the ways to look at this in a productive way is he is pointing out to us everything we need to fix. It's the hard way. We didn't take the easy way. We took the hard way. So we just have our work cut out for us and we have to show up and it's going to hurt. But, you know, in the end, I think that if we keep focusing on, I don't know if you're familiar with Park Rose Permaculture. Her name is Angela. She's got a big YouTube channel, but she is a millennial. She's really smart. And she's often talking about the importance of nonviolent protesting. And it's not just this, you know, hippy dippy, la, la, la. There's a real strategy to the nonviolence.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. And it's like they don't know what to do with it. When you're dressed up like a dinosaur or a big frog, you look like a fucking idiot when you're chasing them down the street. I mean, there was that whole, I don't know if you saw the video of some woman dressed up like a penis and they had to arrest her.
No, but I saw the one where ICE is chasing down the kid on the bicycle. It looked like the Keystone Cops. I'm like, oh, sakes.
But I think, you know, one thing we've got is we've got humor. So I think we need to really focus on our love and our humor because they don't know what to do with that. They're just like frozen when it comes to us being human and kind and all that stuff. So just more of that. But all right. It was so awesome talking to you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for what you're doing because I know that you're reaching a certain part of our country that, you know, maybe I'm not going to be reaching or other people who do what I do. You have a specific kind of voice. And I think that it's really important. And I'm glad that you're exploding all over the internet. So before I let you go, please tell everyone where to find you.
Well, on Facebook, it's Mammals with apostrophe S, Porch N with a letter N, Politics. Then I'm on Blue Sky, YouTube, Substack. I think I'm on a couple of others. I don't remember. Hell, I'm everywhere.
So
sign me up. I'm on there.
I'm going to have you on the Patreon link. I've got your Blue Sky and I've got your YouTube. I highly recommend to all of my listeners, go check her out, follow her, spread her message. Lisa, or I should say, Mama, it's been a joy talking to you. And thank you for your time.
Oh, it has been you too. And thank you for having me. Thank you a lot.
Of course. All right. Take care.
Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.